Psalm 143, starting with verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have been long dead, who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I remember all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Selah. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies, and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. It is good to know that God listens to his regenerate people in a special way. Sometimes being one of God's chosen people can be frustrating. I remember when I was younger, I could be some blocks away from where I lived, and I could hear this distinctive whistle. I never learned how to do it, but it was one of these things where my dad could just put his fingers right in here and whistle so that the whole community could hear it. Well, that whistle was for one person and one person alone. Nobody else had to come home. Just me. I can also remember when my dad might be upset with me and he'd give me what I might call the look. And he was a big guy and I was a small little guy. And that look really meant something. But you know, other people didn't seem to get that look. Just me. And then there were my dad's lectures. And I don't remember my dad lecturing other little children, but he lectured me. And then there were the spankings. I sometimes was bad and ended up getting spanked. I don't remember other kids being spanked by my dad, but I did. I received them. Those examples that I just gave you were manifestations of what? Well, for one thing, my father was my father. At times, it may seem like God treats his saved ones worse than he treats the unregenerate. But remember that God loves his saved ones and has a special relationship with them. We sometimes look at the way that God treats us as children look at the way that their parents treat them when their parents are actually doing what they are doing in the best interest of their children. And time again, when those children are grown and they seem to discover that all of a sudden that their parents have become extremely wise. And they have a great appreciation for the tough love that they needed and received from their loving parents. And how many times when things are going badly will those children who have grown up to be godly young Christian adults turn to their parents for advice and encouragement? Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. God the Father is faithful. He can be depended on. He remembers what his son has done on the cross for his people who cry out to him. He is faithful to this covenant that is a gracious covenant. We do not deserve this faithfulness, but if we are Christians, he is faithful to the covenant because of what Jesus has done for Christians. Christians are not able to cry out to God in this way based on their own merits, but they cry out to a faithful God who looks at the merits of his Son, Jesus. In verse 2 we read, "Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous." Do not make the mistake of crying out to God based on your own good works. That would be, as some people might say, dumb and dumber. Stupid. Foolish. Verse 3. "For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have been long dead." Verse 4. "Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed." When you are feeling badly, just remember what Jesus went through when his heavenly Father was punishing him on the cross for the sins of his elect. God treated his son like his son was an enemy. Jesus was without sin, and yet it was as if he was the worst person who ever lived, or actually a lot of worst people who ever lived. Pardon the grammar. Look at these descriptive words. Persecuted. Crushed. Made to dwell in darkness. Oh, an overwhelmed spirit. A distressed spirit. And you think you've got problems. Jesus came to this earth knowing full well what was going to happen to him. And yet he came. He went through this time of being treated like he was worse than any man or any woman who ever lived, so that the elect, who deserved eternal hell, might have an eternal relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verses 5 and 6. "I remember the days of old. I meditate on your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land." Selah. Just like Jesus, even when he was on the cross, he knew that things would be okay. Even when he's on that cross being treated like an enemy of God, he knew that things were going to be okay. Just like that, Christians have all the necessary evidence that they need to know that things will be okay. Meditation on who God is and what he has done should bring comfort to the Christian. We often underestimate our need for God and put too much confidence in ourselves. Jesus, who was part of the Godhead, relied on his heavenly Father and longed for fellowship with him. If Jesus relied on his heavenly Father like he did, how much more should we? Verses 7 and 8. "Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you." After all that Jesus went through on the cross, he could still trust his heavenly Father. These verses are quite descriptive of what Jesus was feeling on the cross. There are many times when we let our feelings get in the way and do not trust God as we should, and act in a sinful and distrustful manner. In all that he went through, Jesus neither distrusted his heavenly Father nor disobeyed him in any way. We should find this amazing, quite amazing, for it is amazing. Jesus longed to please his Heavenly Father by walking in the way that his Heavenly Father wanted him to walk. And so should we. Verses 9 and 10. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. We have enemies and need to trust on God, as did David, the human author of this psalm. But as bad as David may have had it, or as bad as we may have it, Jesus had it worse. And through it all, he never lost sight of the need for living up to the standards of his Father and the need for dependence on his Father. You may have noticed that themes such as obedience and dependence on God seem to be being stated by me time and time again, because that is what is stated in Scripture. Why so many times? Why so much repetition? Well, for one thing, maybe we need to hear over and over again what our obligations are and how Jesus met these obligations for his elect. Verses 11 and 12. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Revive. Bring to life again. There is mercy seen in this covenant. The price was paid. The God of judgment is also the God of mercy. These two verses look back on the resurrection of Jesus and to the and look forward to the resurrection of his elect, which includes the author of this psalm. David was a servant. He was a servant of God, his Heavenly Father. Jesus was a servant of God, the Father. Christians today are servants of God the Father. One day, all servants of God will be in heaven together after all the enemies of God will be conquered. Now, there's an interesting twist on the last statement that I made, however. I did not say that all the enemies of God will go to hell. Think of the Apostle Paul. If you are a Christian, think of yourself. Paul was an enemy of God. He was conquered by the work of the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, you were once an enemy who was conquered by the Holy Spirit. Not all enemies of God go to hell. Only those who are regenerate, who are unregenerate, and are non-elect will be eternally cut off. Cut off forever. I see the enemies who we see here in verse 12 as being eternal enemies who will suffer forever in hell. But for the grace of God, we would all be in that condition. I'd ask that we turn in our Psalter to our Psalm of the Month. Psalm 143, and let's stand together as we sing to the Lord.